Let me make these quick announcements. You can turn to Matthew chapter 6. In August, Chuck and Kelly Shackelford had an anniversary. Let's give them a great hand. Happy anniversary, Kelly and Chuck. Good to see Brother Ted Marshall with this morning. Ted was one of the most finest students I ever had in my Romans class. That guy who took that Romans, that religious center and all them things, and he'd preach it to a lot of people. Harry Arney, he had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Harry. God bless you. Let's give him a great hand. Megan Huth had one, and Jeff Wetzel's got one today. Alicia McDaniel's got one the 11th. Robert Blair the 13th. Josh Howard the 14th. And Daphne Belcher's got the 15th. Okay, Daph and Mike Henson. So happy birthday and happy anniversary to all these folks. I put Judy, if you notice that little table out there in the foyer, I'm going to be promoting our little Piglet scholarship. I have some, Roger brought me some tapes of Dr. Jim that he had from a long time ago. How many remember Dr. Jim Dellerschmidt? Well, when I had Dr. Gray with me, I had those tapes listening to him. Dr. Gray said, man, I'd love to have a copy of those tapes. So I mentioned to Roger Whitaker, and he got a whole set of seven to give to him, but he had some extras, so I put them out there. Those are tremendous tapes. They're $5 a tape. There's a lot of songs on them. On every tape, there's a lot of songs. All the money we take in is going to go to our scholarship, little Piglet scholarship for our school. Amen? Anything you buy off that table is going to go towards our little Piglet scholarship for our school. And I've got I've got some packages I gave out to the preachers there. There's there's a book, Can I Trust My Bible? There's a tape by Mrs. Gray. And then there's a What's Good About Hell? And whatever else I threw in that package. I can't remember everything that's in there. But that's all going for $15. By the way, Dr. Ballard is going to be starting September 4th. It's on a Thursday. And every Thursday, he's going to start teaching in our Bible Institute the King James. I'm going to tell you, that's a coming battle. Amen. You ain't kidding, Mike. And we want our people, we're going to give you credit for coming. If you come and finish the course, we're not going to charge you nothing. The Institute's not going to take any money. We're going to give it to you for free. And, of course, you know, Dr. Ballard studied that a lot. He's taught it 2 or 3 years. I think I might even sit in it myself and get a few tips off him. So you need to know your Bible, not because preacher says it, because you know it in your heart. And that's a coming issue, I'm telling you. Even in the Baptist churches, some of the bigger, huge Baptist churches are turning away from it, making statements of doubt that the Bible is inspired. The Bible is inspired. The King James Bible, and God said he'd always have his Bible. Look at one scripture, and I'm going to get into your... look at Psalms 12. I was very fortunate. I never did doubt this Bible. I always believed it was God's Word, and I had pastors that were... Mark, my preachers were dogmatic. This was God's Word. And 12, chapter 12 of Psalms, verse 6 and 7. The words, the words of the Lord are what? As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. God's number's 7. Perfect. The 7th edition of the King James Bible. There was never no errors. There was spelling. They'll try to say there was errors. There was no translation. There was only in the spelling of it, of the word. Are you with me? And thou, look at verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them till just for a few years. Just till they can make an NIV. just till someone thinks they're smarter than God. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Amen. One thing I want to know, I want you to know, Brother Freddie, God wrote a Bible. And God said, the Bible I wrote, I'm going to preserve it forever. Yes. Then, Brother Mike, that means the Bible somewhere in this world. Yes. I've got it right here.
Right.
In the English version. I've got it in the English. It's the King James Bible. It's preserved. It's inspired of God. Every word of God's pure. If you don't have an inspired Bible, then you must... Mike, we might just turn the lights off and go home.
Yeah, right.
Because, Brother Mike, what would be the sense of preaching? If it's not inspired, why would we even want to preach out of it?
Yeah.
Hello? There's sometimes preachers try to act like they know more than God. They get so big, they think they know more than God. And God says, watch out for them people. And I'm telling you to watch out for them. This Bible's inspired. And there's a coming battle. I want you to know. And this, I'm going to tell you right now, this preacher in this church is going to stay with the King James Bible.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not turning in the King James Bible. I don't care who says it.
Amen.
By the way, even if I say it, don't you take it. You take it because God said it. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Man, did we... I just found out something today. I bet we had 20. I didn't count them. I think we had close to 25 people with teenagers. We never did that before. Every adult took a teenager. And Austin Skyver actually came, my grandson, yesterday. And I never got to go out with my grandson. So I snatched up my grandson. We went And some of the other guys, I think Bobby took his son with a bunch. I don't know where everybody went, but we all went over there off of Diamond Street. And we got Longfield Street. Man, we were going down the street, and here comes this huge, and I'm not kidding you, huge Doberman Pinscher. He wasn't no puppy. That Doberman Pinscher, I'm not making no exaggeration. I believe that dog stands about 3.5 feet high, 4 foot high. And you know how most Dobermans are real thin? Not this. This dog was like a preacher dog. Man, that dog came out. Woo, woo, woo. I told Aussie, just stay with Grandpa. I thought, oh, man, I knew Satan was going to try to fight us. And you said, did you go up that door? You think I'm stupid? I'm going to give Chuck, that's right behind Chuck, I'm going to give them the stuff to give to him. And I couldn't figure why he stopped. I thought, wow, the power of God. God's anointed. No, it had nothing to do with that. I didn't think that either. I just said, Lord, please. I said, Lord, put some angels, stop. They had an invisible fence. And I told Rosie, I said, I can't figure why that dog didn't come more, because he really wanted to, he wanted me for lunch. He said, man, look at that. That's a T-bone and everything. That's like three T-bones. Porterhouse. And some more derbs to go with it. And he just stopped. Man, that dog is a big, that dog belongs in a junkyard. That's a junkyard dog. Anyways, Chuck, I'm going to give you the stuff to give to them, and you make the visit. They live directly behind Chuck. Chuck knows all about. Or we can just throw it over. Do you know where the invisible thing stops? Is that you know, you're right. Because I actually was going to put on that paper for Brother Phil Howard. Brother Phil, on the left hand, but I'm going to go back and finish the. We're going to finish the rest of the street tomorrow, the next week. But I'm going to put on there, warning, warning, warning. Two houses beyond that one that's up for sale with the gold. They got the Doberman. You do not want to go in there. Man, that dog was vicious.
There's a reason I gave you
What was exciting was, Brother Phil, I don't know if you got to hear the story. I was trying to find a place to park, and I couldn't feel comfortable just pulling in somebody's yard. So Chuck and Kelly's usually got an answer for just about anything I need. And so I went over and saw Brother Chuck. I said, Chuck, I need a place to park. And I really thought about going through his backyard because he's up on Summit Road there. And he said, my niece lives right on that street. You can park in her yard. And he said, Preacher, she was at your church last Sunday. Wasn't it ironic? The street you gave me, there was a lady that had visited our church the week prior. Isn't that exciting? And so, alrighty. All I want to say is, thank God for invisible fences. Amen. Did you guys run into any dogs, Brother Mike? Good. That's good streets. If you're on that Longfield, I'm going to tell you, watch out for them dogs in Longfield. Them dogs. That dog there was scary. He was about as big as Brother Coolidge. He was a big dog, Brother Coolidge. He was a big dog. Okay, we're working on prayer. We're working on our model prayer. And hey, Kativer, how'd you do, Kativer? Did you get run off by any dogs? Did he get some?
One dog.
One dog. If you'd had that Doberman, man, woo! Watch out that next street, that Longfield. Anybody on Longfield, you go down there, you better watch out for that Doberman. He's about three quarters down on the left-hand side as you're driving off a Diamond. Whew. That was a junkyard. That would be a law against them kind of dogs, man. Austin wasn't even afraid. I think because I was afraid for both of us, you know. That dog, I'm going to tell you right now, that dog was not a Baptist. Because he was definitely mad. Okay, we're in the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6. And let me just read it to you. And then we're going to, I'll probably hit a few things that, just in review what David went over. Then I'm going to hit some new stuff for you. Pastor Dave, when he's back here next week, he'll be teaching. Look at verse 5. And when thou pray, by the way, this is a model prayer. That means you have to say word for word. What you want to do is get the truth of this prayer. The truth behind, there's a lot of churches that say this word for word. I don't believe that's what the Lord meant. The truth of this prayer, what's the substance of this prayer, that's what God wanted us to have.
Yes.
How many are with me?
Amen.
And look at your definition, before I read, look at right underneath, it says, one of the definitions for model in the Webster Dictionary is a person or thing regarded as a standard of excellence to be imitated. Well, who's the greatest model we can have? Jesus. So we're to be as much like Jesus as we can. And notice what it says, there are many who like to fuss over whether the prayer of Matthew 6 should be called the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. It really doesn't matter. But what does matter is that it's Jesus' prayer here. It's the gold standard of our praying. It's the model, the standard of excellence that we seek after and to be sought after. Don't look at this and say, well, I need to say this prayer word for word. No, get the truth of it. Get what's behind it. So verse 5, Matthew 6, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites. And David hit on this a lot last week. In other words, don't do things as you do to show in front of people. Thou shalt not be as hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter in the closet. In other words, get away, get alone, get by yourself. Get away from the telephone and the radio and the TV and everything, and get away where no one can bother you, and where you can just get a hold of God, and where you can just pray, and where you're not distracted from the world. Just say, God, it's just me and you.
Amen.
You don't have to go inside your closet and close the door. The truth of the matter is, what he's trying to show you there is get alone by yourself where there's no distractions. But when thou prayest, enter in thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, And the father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Go out there in the land and go out in the woods and pray. I've done that a lot of times. 30 acres out there and 10 acres of woods. A lot of times you might see my car and say, "Where?" I'm back in those woods praying. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. God don't. Listen, there's nothing you and I can do to impress God.
No, right.
I mean, we can't come up with a word that will take him by surprise or a thought that, where he'd say, "Wow, I never thought about that." Did it ever occur to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? Because he knows everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Amen? Look at, be ye not, verse 8, be ye not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He knows. He knows about the little sparrow, the Bible says. And you're much more valuable than the sparrow. And the sparrow doesn't fall that he doesn't know it. After this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father. And that's your first point. I'll stop. Our Father, verse 9 there. Our Father. Is he really your Father? Number one there, a model, your first star. Is he really your Father? You got to have him through the new birth. People, listen, you can pray all day long. "Hey, Brother Jack, good to see you. God bless you." And I see my ABL club. Annie Saylor, Wanda, Wednesday night, 83 years old, walked the aisle about her salvation. Wanda comes to the ABL. 83 years old. We had 3 people saved, 1 person baptized, and a man joined our church on Wednesday night.
Amen.
Man, you can't get excited about that. And my grandson, Lukey, got saved Wednesday night.
Amen.
Amen. 5 years old. Tammy's reading the scripture to him, and he said, "Mom, quit reading the Bible. I don't want to die and go to hell. Let me ask Christ to save me. Then you can read all you want." I'm going to tell you, there was a manifestation of the Lord here Wednesday night. Unbelievable. That's exciting, isn't it? He didn't hear his grandpa preach, but the Spirit of God moved in his heart. Isn't that exciting? Boy, when you see a 5-year-old kid say, an 83-year-old woman walking because she's worried about her soul going to hell, that's God, buddy. When you see those big doormen stop, that's God. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad they had the fence turned on. But notice, is he really your Father through the new birth? You know what? Look up here. You can pray all you want, but if you've never been born again, he's not your Father. Look at Romans 8. Hold your hand there in Matthew because I'm going to come right back. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16. Some of you Romans people know where I'm going already. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what are they? Right. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What spirit is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? But ye have received the Spirit right there. Big S. Holy Spirit. How many with me in Romans?
Amen.
Of adoption. We've been adopted. We've been adopted in the family of God.
Amen.
Man, Jesus adopted us.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Okay, now, you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry. What do you cry? Abba, Father. See, the Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. We cry, Abba, Father. I'm going to look up here. I have to go.
Say, Daddy, Daddy.
Abba, Father is saying, you've got such a close relationship, it's like saying, Daddy, Daddy. Are you with me? A lot of people pray, but if they're not saved, their prayer don't hit above that ceiling. I know there's that God hears people. But
for his children, you gotta have the Spirit of God in you to be his child.
And you get that, the new birth. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, the moment you've asked Christ to save you, the Spirit of God came into you. You don't speak in tongues. You don't hold on to the end. You don't work it out. No, the moment you say, Lord, I need you. There was a lady here. Lady got saved here Wednesday night. Got saved and got baptized. She thought, well, maybe. No, the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, right now.
Amen.
We baptized. No, this other lady.
Okay.
And I lost my thought. Yeah, okay. Make sure you're a child of God. Lost people don't have that in their heart. The reason you have that, dear Father, it's in your heart. It's the Spirit of God. It bears witness. Amen? Go back to your Matthew chapter 6 in your paper. So many people will cry out, oh God, mighty God, save me, do this. God over in Matthew 7, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. And there are going to be a lot of people standing before God who underneath the banner of religion, and they never knew Christ. You can't know God unless you know Christ.
Right.
He and my Father are one. He that the Father hath the Son. And so if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. If you don't have the Son and the Father, then you don't know God as your Savior. So when you pray, did you see the closeness of that prayer? It's an enduring prayer, our Father. How many love their Father?
Amen.
It's an endearment, dear Father. There's a love there. It comes from the heart, the soulish heart. Number two, as a model, as to respect and worship that must exist between God and one praying, which art in heaven, verse 9. God's not to be trivialized or vulgarized or humanized as he often is today. You know, it always irritates me. Me and the man upstairs. Oh, the big guy looking down on me. Don't make fun of God like that. I wrote this. God's not the big guy in the sky. He's not the big man that understands. He does understand, but he's God Almighty. God is to be honored and to love and be respected and to be reverenced. He's our creator. And to make light and human. Don't make God to come down like us. If he came down like, if he was on our level, we wouldn't have a God. We'd have fallen man. Look at the next one. Number three, God as a model is to be reverenced with, in which we are to address God, his holy, hallowed name. He is holy. He is. I like this. I wrote this down before I saw what he wrote the next verse. His precious name is not to be used as a curse word. How many see that? I've heard what used to, Brother Coolidge, what goes right to the quick of me when I hear people go, GD or Jesus this, and, you know. And I want you to look at Exodus chapter 20. Hold your hand there in Matthew. Go in the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. God's name should not be used in vain. 20 verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord, thy God, in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In other words, when you take God's name in vain, you're guilty. God said, don't use my name as a cuss word, as a swear word, as a vulgar. People always say, GD, GD, and everything else. Jesus this. Why don't they do all of this and all of them?
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Hello? By the way, that shows who the true God is.
Right.
And sometimes They'll push me so much, bud. They keep saying GD, GD. I don't care if they're people I know or people I don't know. I'll say, stop! Did you just hear what you told God? You told God to damn you and damn this.
Yes.
And I'll say to them, they'll don't want to think I'm hooked because someone's challenging them. I'll say, bow your head. Dear God, this man wants you to damn him. Please, Lord, damn him right now. But you'd be surprised. I've actually had him shake me. Hey, mister, stop! Well, I just wanted to do what you've been telling God to do. Well, I didn't mean it like that. I said, well, then don't say it at all. Because I don't like hearing it. I guarantee you, when you're around, you that work in public, those cussers will stop around you. Hello? All it takes is some Christians say, not to be smart aleck, not to make a show, but to, because you know it's wrong, and say, did you know God says you're guilty for doing that? Moses said in the Ten Commandments that you're guilty for using God's name in vain. You know what? Look up here. If more Christians would speak out, there'd be less using God's name in vain. But what happens is we just stand there with them. And what's sad? Christians, right? And they laugh with them. We laugh and at their jokes and their smut and their evil. And we wonder, why don't we have a testimony? Why don't they? Why do they do that? By the way, some of the own Christians use the same words. Boy, we need to have a testimony for Christ. Go back to Matthew. I'll tell you, when I worked at Allied Chemical years ago, they didn't cuss around me. They were afraid to. And some of the meanest, vilest, wickedest guys used to make fun of me in front. When they were going through hard times, when the chips were down, they'd come to me like Nicodemus at night. They'd come to me and say, hey, I've got a real problem. Could you help me? I used to run, before I got saved, I ran with some real rough, I wasn't rough, but I ran around with a lot of mean, rough people. And one time we were having a Thanksgiving dinner at the lunchroom, and I walked in and I just get ready, and they said, and one of the guys picked up a knife, put it right in the door. He said, you take a bite, I'm going to knife you. He said, go ahead and pray, preacher. You don't need to the preacher prays. I prayed real quick. He didn't put a knife to the guy's throat, and then he cussed me off for praying too long. He made a flip remark. The rough people, that's all a show. Some of those people you say, oh, you can't reach them. They can be reached. They can be reached. I had a huge man. He's a good man, but he had fingers. How many of us know big railroad ties? His name is Reuben. He was a huge man. Yeah. He's about 6'4", but he had the biggest hands ever, so he's a huge man. One day, he must have been having a bad day, and he just was saying a lot of bad stuff to me. And I just said, the Lord rebuke you. And he dropped right down to his knees and started crying. Hello? And I just went and put my arm and said, oh, God loves you, Reuben. I'm not your enemy. I'm going to tell you, we just need to let people know that we care about them, that we, and that we love Christ. Amen? Number four. As a model, as a longing of our soul for long-term goals, both personal and worldwide. Notice that verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Not my kingdom. Not your kingdom. Not my will. His will. His kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom. His kingdom, not ours. His will, not ours. God, I love the notation here. God is not like a Disney fairy godmother whose duty is to supply our personal whims and goals. You know what? Christianity's all messed up. His kingdom comes personally in our hearts. How many see your, and near the bottom of your page there? His kingdom comes prophetically over the whole world as it as its will. Really now, whose kingdom do you really truly long for? Whose kingdom is the most important and influential in your life? Is it your life, your or is it his?
Amen.
I'm going to be preaching this morning on making the right choices in life. Tonight I'm preaching on the flames of fire of God. Man, it's a good one. And, that's the trouble. We say, well, God, I believe it's, you know, we say, oh, man, I know what the Lord wants. Is it what really God wants or is it what we want? Is it really his will or is it my will? Turn your page. Hey, we turn the page. I feel pretty good. Because was Brother Dave even on the first, did he even go past the opening page? Good. Look at number five. As a model of restraint, which we ask God for things. In other words, give us this day our daily bread, verse 11. You see that at the top of your page, on the next page? It's not sin to ask for things that we need or things of others may need. It is, however, a sin to use God for a kind personal vending machine. I like that. In order to get what we want. Sometimes, this is sometimes seen, for example, when sports figures use prayer, even a testimony for God in their life, for personal gain. Or be careful about this. And then, of course, it's got Simeon over there in the book of Acts. Remember Simeon? He wanted the power of God to be able to breathe on people the Holy Ghost. How many remember that over there in Acts? And they rebuked him. Said, no. When you study that book of Acts, he was a sorcerer. People, they revered him. Because he was in sorcery. He was used to be able to do things in front of people and getting their admiration. Are you with me? We shouldn't do anything to get people's admiration. We ought to do things for the glory of God. We need to check ourselves sometimes. Am I doing this for God's glory? Or am I trying to get some kind of vain glory? If you're doing it for vain glory, that's your reward. But if you're doing it for God's glory, then God's going to give you something. Amen? And then look at number six, the next one. We'll close. I know that's the first bell. A model showing up upon what basis our hearts should seek forgiveness and blessing of God. Look at verse 12. This is, man, we're going to stop with this one. I'm going to have him start right back up with this one next week. But look, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If there's one thing in Christianity we need to learn, we need to forgive one another. Debts being somewhat old, a fault, God will hold us to the same standard of generosity or lack of it in our forgiving. As we have shown in forgiveness of others, ouch! This does not have to do with our salvation. It doesn't. Got nothing to do with your salvation. I'm glad God's salvation isn't like our forgiveness.
Amen.
In Hebrews, he says, and your sins and your iniquities I remember no more. In Psalms 102, I believe it is, 103, right in there, it says, verse 10 through 12, he has not dealt with us like he should. And as far as east is from west, that's how far he's cast our sins away.
Amen.
God's forever forgiven our sins. Hallelujah. Jesus got a forgiving heart. We're supposed to be like him. They said to Peter, should a man forgive 7 times 70? 490 times?
No, you should just keep forgiving. By the way, if you forgive 490 times, I think you forgive 491. Oh, hold on.
Just starting to get going. We're going to read one more scripture, and then I'll let you go. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. This ought to be in every Christian's heart right here. Ephesians 4, 30 to 32, and I'll quit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Aren't you glad you're sealed? Look at verse 31 now. Because you're sealed and you're on your way to heaven. And by the way, why are you sealed? Because God's forgiven us of all our sins. He's forgiven all of them. Let all bitterness and wrath, because he's forgiven you of all yours. It's amazing, we want God to forgive us, but we don't forgive others. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, not cold-hearted, not rough-hearted, not mean-hearted. Hello? Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so that model prayer is, don't forget to have forgiveness. Hey, remember that forgiveness I gave you? Give it to somebody else. Because just like you need it, So do they. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Bless us in the upcoming services, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We'll break for about 10 minutes, and if you want those